This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Sumich, thank you for spending your Sunday with us. Be it on Channel 158 on Sirius XM, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, or terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Pirates get a couple of hits in the first inning. They do not capitalize on those, so still 0-0 in our feud that we have going on here. Our blood match here, in which he were on the Phillies and I was on the Pirates. Rain delay, Rangers, and the Nationals. So if you were looking at why that is not going, rain delay there. In that one, Padres and Brewers still 0-0 in the fourth inning. I might add, neither team has a hit.
Yeah, no, neither team has a hit, but you know what?
Double no-hitter.
There's zero chance either of these pitchers finish this game, okay? Burgard is a relief pitcher who went five innings in his first start. This is his second start. Yeah. Peralta has thrown 60 pitches through four. So he's not getting through nine. But you know what Peralta has done?
Not allowed to hit.
Struck out. Three guys. That's right. Race to three. Peralta wins it. So, again, minus 270 not for everybody. Felt pretty good about this one. That's why we gave it out.
Arizona, top of the second, gets a home run from Eugenio Suarez. So they are up 1-0 on the Cincinnati Reds there in that one. Singer's gone two innings, just that one hit, but it did leave the yard. So 1-0 there in favor of the Diamondbacks. And Detroit got on the board here against the Cubs early on.
Two-run double from Torkelson.
There we go. So Parker Meadows gets on, leads off the game. And then Torkelson gets it done with a double. So they're up 2-0 in the top of the second there. In that one, Flaherty, 1 1/3, 2 Ks, no walks, and he has not yet allowed a hit.
Perfect game going.
Yes.
Through 1 1/3.
He has a perfect game going in that one. So if you want to go in and bet the perfect game, you know.
Big moment in the Alcaraz Sinner match as well. Alcaraz serving up 2-1, but a break point here for Sinner. So he could get the break back in the fifth, and Alcaraz hit a huge forehand winner. So headed back to deuce there in the fourth game of this fifth set.
Yeah, it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. These guys are awesome right now. And so, like we said, you're watching us or listening to us. If you got a second screen going,
this is worth it. I enjoy college baseball. It's been fun being here at Circa this weekend and having all the college baseball on. Obviously, fun to have Major League Baseball on as well.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup game, too, was absolute much watched TV. I just jumped off the screen. This is the best thing going right now in sports. Sorry, golf.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, which, by the way, we have a new leader. I mean, this is just going to change all day long. Yeah,
ping pong, baby.
Yeah, it's going to change all day long. We have a couple first pitches coming, so I want to make you aware of those if you want to get down on the Blue Jays and Twins. We talked a little bit about this earlier, Francis versus Ryan. Joe Ryan's actually been really good for the Twins so far this year, so he finds himself a minus 194 over at DraftKings anyway. Favorite in this one, plus 157. For the Jays, 8.5, the total shaded towards the over.
Yeah, and I understand the over here. I think it should be shaded over. I don't understand the price here on the Twins. I actually think it should be significantly longer. I mean, Francis has been bad, and Ryan's been very good. And this is a Twins lineup that consistently has been able to hit lefties as well with Francis. So I'm going to take the Twins here, first five. You can lay a half run, get a minus 135. If you want to take a minus a half run first three, it goes to plus 105. That's getting a little aggressive because you need Francis to blow up real early, but I don't hate it either. So, but the official play from here, Twins, minus a half run, minus 135, first five.
Yeah, this Blue Jays team, maddening to bet. It's like bet on or bet against, right? Because it's just one of those teams where if you want to bet on them and then you don't, they score like nine runs.
Yep.
And then when you do bet on them, they come out and like they don't have a hit through the first six innings or something like that. I cannot stand betting the Blue Jays.
No, it's a very difficult team to bet. There's all the talent in the world too.
Yeah,
like they should be good, and they're kind of middling.
Yeah, I mean
every time you watch,
they're a little bit better now than they were obviously at the beginning of the season, but that's not saying much because they were not very good at the beginning of the season. Dodgers and the Cardinals going off as well. Clayton Kershaw going to be on the hill for the Dodgers, Michael McGreevy for the Cardinals, minus 138 for the Dodgers, plus 113 for the Cardinals, 9.5 our total here in this one. Mike, we see that Gonsolin goes on the IL yesterday. That I wanted to give credit, but I it, made it through the Twitter, so I don't know who it was, but that was the 20th IL placement for the Dodgers already on the season. And you and I talked about this heading in. We were like, man, the reason you got to like the Dodgers is because of the depth. Well, the depth has been tested already this year. Man, the pitching staff has been decimated. Guys in and out of that lineup all over the place. And they've still weathered the storm through all of this, but they needed every bit of that depth that we talked about.
But that's what's so impressive about this is they're still one of the best teams or best records in baseball. They are consistently winning, and it is the depth, right? They had essentially two full rotations heading into the season that would be good rotations on any other team. So the ability to be able to utilize that, and even without Ohtani yet, who started to pitch, he's expected to pitch after All-Star break, really helps this Dodgers team. Oh, by the way, they also can crush the baseball on the offensive side. McGreevy, I think, is interesting here. He's the pitcher for the Cardinals, was the 18th overall selection in the 2021 draft. He hasn't been great in the minors, 5-7 with a 4.45 ERA. It's the reason I'm not going to jump in here on trying to play something in this game. I want to try and fade Kershaw. I take the over if I'm going to bet anything here.
Yeah, maybe. And I was like, I was contemplating, and I don't, you guys know if you've been listening to our content and all that. I don't play a lot of home run props, but like, I mean, Kershaw's working at like,
he's
90.
Bad. Yeah.
I mean, like he's topping out at like 90.
Yeah. The velocity's not there. Yeah. It's not the same 12-6 curve.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, looking at these guys, Contreras, Donovan, you know, Arenado actually asked to be moved down in the lineup because he just felt like a little more comfortable down there in the sixth slot. I don't know, any of those guys, that might be something I just throw in as a little funsies.
Yeah,
to get some home run exposure here in this one. Again, just Kershaw, he's a savvy veteran. He will figure out how to not get completely blown up. He understands that he doesn't throw hard anymore and all that, but like, he's not going to be perfect. He's going to make a mistake, and I think that someone's going to capitalize on that.
Four starts so far this year. The longest he's gone in any game is five innings. He's given up 5+ earned in two of the four starts. He's given up two homers in the four starts. I mean, it's just it hasn't been crisp. To me, the biggest, the scariest number with Kershaw used to be a dominant strikeout pitcher. Mm-hmm. 6 Ks, 6 walks.
We actually have, I mean, it's not hugely significant, but like, 7-8 mile an hour winds blowing out as well there in Busch Stadium. It
handles the wind pretty well there.
Yeah,
though.
Not huge. It's not one of the ones where it really does a ton, but it is warm and there is at least a little bit of wind blowing out right there. It's not working against us anyway.
Not working against the over.
Yeah, not working against
or
us.
Home run props, whatever you decide.
However you want to go about all that. The other one, Royals and White Sox, are going here in about 5 minutes or so. Michael Lorenzen for the Royals, Mike Vasil for the White Sox. Only -131 here for the Royals on the road over the White Sox. +108 if you want to take the home dog. 9 is the total.
Yeah, I thought about taking the White Sox here, but when you dig into Vasil specifically and his stats, they just don't match up with what you're seeing on the surface level numbers. He's been good for this White Sox team. He's got a 1.89 ERA, 3-2, but his expected ERA is close to 4. And I want to take, again, I feel like this White Sox team is kind of, I'll say, benefiting from last year's team, where people are just assuming they're just as bad and they're not.
Right.
And so you're still getting some of the pricing from last year. And I don't think we've seen the full adjustment in the market, but I can't with Vasil. If it was somebody else, I would be very interested. And then I'm like, well, do you want the over, Mike? Because you think Vasil's numbers are bad and Lorenzo's not great. Oh, but it's the White Sox offense. I don't really want the over either.
We talk often about the newsletter. One of the best things we do here at VSiN, because it is absolutely free. Just go over to VSiN.com and sign up for it, and you'll get it in your email box every single day. Bill, somehow, some way,
I don't know how he does it,
figures out how to get it into your box every single day.
I mean, it is one of the more impressive feats. They have the commercial where he's here all the time, right? And he's drinking up and getting all the inside information. He's drinking up at the Legacy Club and everything. You see him down here at the bar over at Vicky's bar. I'm impressed that he's able to get this done every day.
So Steve Mackinnon did simulate today's NASCAR race, which is the Firekeepers Casino 400. If you want to go in, Byron, Reddick, Briscoe, and Gibbs were his top five. We have Briscoe, Gibbs, Buescher, Cindric, Berry, and Busch as some underdogs that performed well in the simulation. And then Elliott, Blaney, and Logano were three of the guys with shorter numbers attached to their name that did not fare so well in his simulation. So again, Hamlin, Byron, Reddick, Briscoe, and Gibbs, the top five there.
I have never seen Berry on this list before. Plus 285 for so a top five for Josh Berry.
Make you want to make you a little mini fire?
Well, you see, a lot of these names you recognize, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about Cindric. You see Briscoe and Gibbs a lot of times in those underdogs to watch. There's Berry just sneaking his way in. He's a B, so we know he's pedigreed here to do well in NASCAR, according to your
I mean, look how many
analytics.
Of them there are on there, though. It's absolutely wild. How one of the books has not...
B versus the field?
Yes, has not done the prop yet. Because, I mean, it's so obvious. It's dangling right there in front of you. Like, just do it. Just do it. You will get a bet from me every week.
Well, I mean, that's not saying much.
You will get a bet from me every week.
They get a bet from you on NASCAR every weekend.
Like, it's going to come. Guys, Edge Boost, first ever bank account built for bettors out there. So go in, you open up an account, and then you don't have to worry whenever you need to make that, you know, that little late night walk over to the ATM sometimes, and then your bank says no thanks. Well, that's not what's going on over at Edge Boost. So you get no usage fees, no minimums. You can get some cash back as well. And again, 100% approval for all of those betting deposits. Edgeboost.bet, promo code BET, B-E-T. And when you deposit $25, Edge Boost is actually going to match that deposit for you. So again, edgeboost.bet, use the promo code BET, deposit $25, and Edgeboost will match that deposit. 3-1 in favor of Alcaraz. That said, Sinner is serving for the game here, but Alcaraz is up a break, and he does go ahead and win that game. So now 3-2 in the fifth set over at Roland Garros. See Dirk Nowitzki in the crowd, Tony Parker in the crowd. Big tennis fans.
Yeah. Nowitzki, no, I guess he's not Spanish, right? He is rooting for Alcaraz.
You know, German, but still, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. Dana Lane going to join us when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. 3-2, Alcaraz here in the fifth set, serving in what has just been an absolute banger so far. So again, first two sets to Sinner, third and fourth to Alcaraz, and here we are, 3-2 in the fifth.
Phenomenal.
You and I keep like watching with one eye over there.
It's hard to turn away.
Yeah,
it really, every point is it's just awesome, awesome tennis too. You got drop shots, got people at the net, these nice baseline rallies, and I love it because at Roland Garros, if there's a ball that's close to in or out, the chair umpire actually comes out of the chair and then goes and like points to the mark the clay, and I'm like, how the heck do you know which mark it is?
It's so ridiculous. It's the stupidest thing in all of sports. Like, as awesome as this event is and awesome, it's the stupidest thing. The technology exists.
No.
I don't need the guy to come down there and just point at a random spot on the court to convince me.
Clay is the technology here.
Yeah.
That's the technology.
Try to convince me of the 90,000 ball marks that's the one.
That's exactly
where it is. Like, come on. So ridiculous. All right, so joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, we have Dana Lane, handicap over at Pick Dogs, at Dana Lane Sports on the Twitter machine. Dana, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate your time. You know, it's funny about tennis is I started to kind of get into that because I noticed that they were playing a little bit earlier in the day, and I thought, man, if I could get into this, maybe I can, you know, put a little bit away in my bankroll. My wife saw me watching tennis. She said, no, we're not doing this. I said, okay, all right. Okay, 4 o'clock games it is.
Dana, we have had, two absolute just bangers in the first two games of the series so far. Even if you're not a hockey fan, I mean, just entertainment value through the roof. Lots of goals, early scoring, everything I think that keeps viewers just tied to their seat in this one. Did you learn anything through the first two games that maybe you were on the fence about heading into the series?
I would say no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everything, I mean, look, I've said it on other shows on your network. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to be a terrific Stanley Cup final, and through game two, through two games, that absolutely has come to be true. And I expect it to be true the rest of the way. I mean, I would be shocked, honestly, if this doesn't go seven games because these teams are very evenly matched. But in order to do that, Edmonton is at least going to have to get one game in Florida, which is a place where they have just not played well at all. In fact, the Oilers have been terrific on the road. We know they're road warriors in the postseason, but that has not been the case when they go down to Florida and they've lost five of their last six, including regular season and postseason. That's kind of their arch nemesis, and that building is the Oilers' kryptonite for sure.
What did you think from a pace perspective here in the Stanley Cup Finals? We saw plenty of goals last year, but it did start to slow down Game 6 and Game 7 in that series. Now, first two games, just up and down the ice, phenomenal pace. Edmonton being really able to push that pace and create scoring chances, but Florida has had their fair share as well. Saw 9 goals in Game 2. We've seen the total tick up from a 6 number to a 6.5 here in Game 3. Do you think this trend continues with goals, or do you think we're going to start to see defense take over this series?
I'm glad you said that, because I jumped on that 6 and probably about 15 minutes later it was gone. And I thought, well, nobody's going to believe that I got a 6 in this. I was surprised the 6 got posted, but I think probably the odds makers think that, you know, going home where Edmonton or where Florida is much more of a defensive team, that they would knock it down by a half. But we haven't seen anything that would indicate that the pace of this play is an under pace. In fact, throughout the postseason, shots on goal have been at a premium, but that has not been the case in this series. I will offer this up, though. One of the reasons why I really like Florida in this series is watch as the series progresses. And first of all, Edmonton has not been on the road in 10 days. They have not been on the road on the East Coast in almost 3 months. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, it's a little bit of a big deal because you go from an environment that, you know, has about 35% humidity outside. And I know they play inside, but that does affect the quality of the ice, which affects a team that is predicated on speed. Now you go to a situation where you have 70% humidity, which is twice as much. I think that is going to be a huge advantage for Florida moving forward. In fact, that overtime game the other night, Edmonton really needed to win that game, because now you're talking about when we go to depth, and depth is one of my huge keys to winning a series. That certainly is with Florida, because you have a third line with the Panthers who have all won Stanley Cups. And I will put that up against Edmonton's third line any day. In fact, you can see the difference between how Paul Maurice feels about his depth versus the way Chris Knobloch feels about his. The Florida Panthers played 8 more minutes. That third line played 8 more minutes than the Edmonton Oilers. And I think attrition is going to be an issue as we move forward.
Talking to Dana Lane at Dana Lane Sports over on the Twitter machine. Dana, any thought on the Conn Smythe? Connor McDavid +105, Bobrovsky sitting 3-1, everybody else 6-1 or longer. Is there a bet to be made in that market?
Well, I mean, Bobrovsky is one of the reasons why I love this series. And if he hoists a cup, he certainly is going to win the Conn Smythe for sure. Unless Marchand just goes off and has a incredible series. And I don't know if you're playing 16 to 18 minutes, if that's going to be possible, but they're going to win this series because of goaltending. And they have a huge advantage. And we talked about Stuart Skinner earlier on in the postseason. And there was people thinking that Calvin Pickard should be in net for the Edmonton Oilers when they were playing the LA Kings. And now all of a sudden, well, you know, we don't feel that way about Skinner, but I still do. I still think that there is a huge advantage in net. And if you think there's a huge advantage in net, then it's going to be Sergei that's going to win that Conn Smythe.
Now, as this game does transition to Florida, you mentioned that home ice for Florida has been an advantage. They've been one of the best road teams in the playoffs as well over the last few seasons. Yeah. Edmonton did win some games in Florida last year during the Stanley Cup Finals. Do you think Knobloch makes any changes to what he's going to do with them on the road? We saw him make major adjustments, specifically defensively, in Game 4 against the Stars in Dallas. Do you think we're going to see any changes heading back to Florida here from Knobloch, the Oilers coach?
No, not really. I think he's pretty happy with where they are. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers are what they are. They've been that way for 5 years now. They're a team that is going to try to outscore you because they need to cover up what they are defensively, and that is not a very reliable hockey team. In fact, if they didn't have that all-world top line, they would be struggling from a defensive standpoint, because a lot of times your defense is – how good you are defensively is how good you are as far as carrying puck and as far as winning that Corsi battle, which the Oilers win on a consistent basis. So I don't think there's anything. I think there's the Panthers' adjustment from game one to game two. I thought they did a much better job of clogging that middle and the high and low slot area and giving the Oilers as little space as possible. But I think each team is happy with where they are because each team can make a case to be up 2-0 at this point. And of course the Panthers in this series have the advantage of the first change. So, or the second change. So that is a huge advantage that I think a lot of people don't think about when they're handicapping games. And oh, by the way, Connor McDavid is on the ice almost every shift. And I think as it goes on, I think again, that is going to be a massive advantage for the Panthers. I think they wear down from a physicality standpoint. I just don't see the Oilers getting a lot of high danger chances in that low slot area, which Florida has been able to get into that area fairly easy. And I just like them from a defensive standpoint. I like them from a depth standpoint as well.
He's Dana Lane. Find him over at Pick Dogs at Dana Lane Sports over on the Twitter machine as well. Dana, thanks for your time and good luck.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Rhys Hoskins. Damn you, Rhys Hoskins.
Ha ha.
The double no-hitter is gone.
Oh, no.
Rhys Hoskins gets a hit.
The double no-no.
The double no-no is no more. One hit for Milwaukee. Still zero for the Padres.
Also gone. Any shutout in the Phillies Pirates game is my Phillies punch back, baby.
No, come on, Paulie.
1-1, mid three here in the battle, Paulie, of the desk today.
Come on, Paulie. Joe Ryan struck out the side.
Twirling, baby. Let's get a run so we can get this first five
struck
home.
Struck out the side in the first inning. So good on him there. We are still 2-0 Arizona and Cincinnati. Still 2-0 Detroit and Chicago. Cleveland up early there on Houston. 2-0. And the White Sox.
Miguel Vargas just went yard.
Look at that. All kinds of early runs here on a Sunday.
Yeah, except for the Cubs. Hey, guys. Maybe Kyle Tucker, RBI here. Hap Tucker, Suzuki coming up.
It's poking with a stick.
Do something.
The little meme. You know what? I never get tired of that one. People use it for a decade.
Yeah, it's a solid one.
I don't ever get tired of
that. It's a winner.
Yeah.
It's a winner.
It's a good one. You can keep on using that. If you want to ever tweet at me with the little guy with the stick saying do something,
guaranteed
I'm okay.
Like.
Yeah.
Guaranteed like from Matt Brown.
Yeah. You will get a like from me for
unless
sure.
You're trolling him. Then maybe not.
When we come back, update you on this tennis match and take a look at the College Baseball Super Regionals.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt and Mike, and they just show the clock over at Roland Garros, 5 hours and 1 minute. This match has gone. Carlos Alcaraz serving for the match here in the fifth set, up 5-4. Sinner does hold and gets it to a chance at least. He's trying to hold on.
And he does win the first point. And Roland Garros, correct me if I'm wrong, tiebreaker in the seventh set, correct?
Yeah, so we're looking here, a 5 hour, just to let you guys know, like, so a 5 hour tennis match means that every one of these sets has been an unbelievable grind. Like, this is a full on hour per set, you know, like it was an hour and 20 minutes ago because it was about when we came in that this thing was almost over.
Well, just to put this into context.
Oh my God, he's won the first 2 points.
The fastest marathon in history is 2 hours. The fastest women's marathon is 2 hours and 15 minutes. They could have run two marathons before this match was over.
Yeah, it is.
It's 30-0 Sinner now. So
good.
Chance to break if he can do this. Send it to a 5-5 fifth set. Crazy match.
As you mentioned, one apiece in that Phillies and Pirates game, and while Skeens has only given up two hits and hasn't walked anybody, not striking out these Phillies, actually, no. Interestingly enough. Only 2 Ks for Skeens through three innings. You know, again, he hasn't allowed any damage, so it's like I'm nitpicking here. But
yes.
he doesn't have the super high K rate that we are used to seeing with Skeens.
No, he's not striking out the same level. I wonder what the first to 3 Ks number would have been there.
Whoo!
because it would have been a good one for Sanchez, who wins the race, and also would have been facing the Pirates in the bottom half, not the top. So Skeens would have had a huge advantage from when he faces the lineup, and also he strikes everybody out.
Yeah, my guess is that that would have been
plus 200.
Super juicy.
Plus 250.
Yeah, super juicy number for you there. We haven't done a bunch of golf updates, mainly because it's just hard to give you insight on this tournament. We talked about the number of guys that are in play in this thing. Well, again, I'm going to go down. 27 different guys are at 11 under or better.
Yep.
I think
you can't be at 11 under to win the tournament
right
now.
I think 10 is too far back. 11, if you went on a big run. But the problem is all the people at 11,
they're all played nine.
Yeah, are all they don't have enough holes.
I think you got to be 14 or better.
I think 12 is fine because like Mackenzie Hughes is only through five holes. Rico Hoey's only through six holes.
Yeah, maybe.
So there's a chance for them.
The problem is like the guys at 14 under and 15 under, they're through three to seven holes too. And so you got to think that they're going to push this to what's the number that wins? 18? 19?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's only two par fives on this course, so there's two fewer scoreable holes, you know, air quote scoreable. Yeah. As all these guys are 1500, you know what I mean? Like where you're assuming birdie. Like there's not very many holes you assume birdie on the PGA Tour.
I like
Tour,
the 18 is one of them.
Yeah, like but yeah, so the way that it is there's it's 1 and 18. So those are your like so you've already if you didn't birdie the first hole of the day, you're kind of under the gun, and then you do have a five as the 18th.
Don't look now. Cam Young, 6-1.
Yeah.
He was 25-1.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like I said, there's a case to be made for any of the dudes that you understand. Oh, my God, he broke him.
Oh, wow. We are 5-5 in the fifth set, Alcaraz Center. Twice now. Someone served for this match, and neither times could they convert. There's also
tennis is so weird.
It's so
like
weird.
That.
There's also been three match points for Sinner. I don't know. I don't think Alcaraz had a single one yet. But just a crazy, crazy match here. Over 5 hours, as mentioned, it was at the start of this segment.
I know, prisoner of the moment thing going on right now.
Yeah.
This is like going to go down as one of the best finals.
Oh, easily.
In history. Yeah.
And we don't even know how far this is going to go yet.
6-4, 7-6, 4-6, 6-7, 5-5 now, where both guys had a chance to serve to win the match.
Yep.
And we're unable to do it. I mean, this is just this is phenomenal. This is absolutely phenomenal. Again, if you guys want to second screen it, we appreciate you listening to us. Yeah, we appreciate you listening to us. But I also understand if you want to second screen this thing.
Yeah, phenomenal match here.
Kevin Yu though is the current leader up there in Canada. 16 under. He's 3 under through four holes, so he has a whole lot of golf still to play. Manicero is only through four holes as well. But, I mean, look, Victor Perez, you mentioned Cam Young. Shane Lowry's still only through 12. Cam Young's only through 7. Victor Perez only through 8. So I think any of those guys, like you said, you know what? 13 might be the cutoff.
13?
Because 13 still has this Skins guy is only through 7. McCarty's only through 5. So, yeah, I think 13 is probably the cutoff because you're going to need the holes.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's where I'm kind of looking at this, where, like, again, if you say that, like, it's 18 that wins and you're at 12, that means you got to go 6 under. And these guys at 12, I mean, even Mackenzie Hughes, he's only got 12 holes left, right? That's a tall task to go 50% birdie rate on the rest of the way home.
You've been watching some college baseball?
I have. I've been enjoying college baseball. I this is the only time I really watch it, so I don't know a ton about these teams.
Well, to be fair, it's kind of tough to find college baseball.
Yes,
like,
it
I mean,
is.
Like, unless
you have
you're
like ESPN, SEC Network,
you have to stream.
Know.
If you want to watch it on the reg, you basically have to stream it. Yeah. So,
but I've enjoyed the Miami Louisville games. Two good games in that series. Miami hanging on in game two. They're playing game three right now. I saw it was 2-2, I believe, last I looked. In the bottom of the sixth there, and that's going to decide who goes to the College World Series. Duke and Murray State, the Racers, supposedly a very good team this year. They're winning game two right now to send that to a third game there. So it's the Tennessee-Arkansas game was phenomenal last night. Just a lot of really good baseball. And, to me, college baseball not as interesting because we don't see these guys in the majors right away. Yeah. I mean, Skeen's the exception.
It's the biggest problem. So the biggest problem with the popularity of the sport is not necessarily the product that's on the diamond.
No, it's a good product.
It's the fact that what you just said, it's – you are not watching someone that will inevitably be on your TV next year, which we know, like, you're watching Cam Young play quarterback, Cam Ward play quarterback, and you're like, oh, he's going to be on my TV on Sundays next year. Like, you knew that for a fact. So there is some intrigue around that. And even in the NBA, right? Like, you're watching Cooper Flagg and you're like, okay, he's the number one overall pick and he's going to be in the NBA.
You know it.
And you, and what, but none of that happens with baseball, which does, I think, affect the popularity of it.
Oh, 100%. Sure. Yeah. I will say this. I do enjoy how much fun they are having out there. Mm-hmm. This may be a hot take because I know a lot of people don't like fun. Like, every time they get a hit or a double, they look over at the dugout and they're like, and they do something from the base over toward the dugout and everyone over there reacts to it. Like, it's just, it's a fun sport to watch because you can tell they're enjoying it. And a lot of those guys, this is the height of their career. This is the opportunity to win a World Series. They're never making the majors.
No.
Like, and so this is the moment of their sports career. And you can see and feel that energy.
Outside of skeins, like, the least predictable sport that there is. There is, I mean, I just saw today the Astros, this guy, Forrest Whitley, if you guys remember, like, number one overall pick, whatever it was, 4 years ago or some kind of 5 years ago or something like that. They just released him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just a different animal whenever you get to the bigs. Arkansas and Tennessee, you mentioned them. First pitch on that about 25 minutes. This is minus 140 for Tennessee, plus 110 for Arkansas. If you want to play that one, UCLA and UTSA. UCLA is a minus 135 favorite, plus 105 for UTSA. A little bit later this afternoon, LSU and West Virginia. LSU a big minus 330 favorite over West Virginia in that one. If you like West Virginia, plus 240 as dogs. And then this evening, Florida State and Oregon State. That is 115 on both sides, however you choose to play that one.
We are now in a deuce here in the 11th game of the fifth set. So 5-5 deuce with Sinner serving. Huge game for him to hold because if he does not, Alcaraz gets to serve for the match. So we'll keep an eye on that as it goes as well. Are you just rooting LSU? That your squad?
I mean, they're really, really good. The problem, if you want to say it's a problem, but so they have a whole bunch of dudes that throw very, very hard, but they cannot throw it over the plate.
No, that is an issue.
And so, I mean, they have a guy. If you guys, if LSU advances and you watch him in Omaha, like, they've got a guy that throws 100.
Yeah.
In the first game of the regional, I mean, hit 101, but the next five pitches were
just not even close to the plate.
He threw them to Texas. Yeah. I mean, like, it's. They have some dudes that throw 96 plus. They just can't get it over the plate on a regular basis. But a lot of guys that are going to get drafted, a lot of guys that are going to play in the pros, a lot of dudes that are heavily pedigree. I mean, their best player might be a true freshman that's on the team right now. It's a really, really good, really good team. I understand why they're huge favorites that they are, and I understand why they're one of the teams that, should they make it to Omaha,
they're going
to
be in the conversation.
Yeah, be one of the teams to get it done.
McGreevy getting batted around here by the Dodgers, giving up three in the top of the second. They're up 3-0 on the Cardinals. Red scratch back one, so 2-1 Diamondbacks there, bottom of the fourth.
No Skeens other, heard me. He got mad that I said he wasn't striking people out, so now he's got four.
Now he's got four. No other real updates there in baseball. Been pretty stagnant after those early runs that we saw.
Yeah, Skeens was like, wait. Nuh-uh, you're not talking trash. Buddy, not happening. Guys, over at VSiN.com, we know you like that splits page, so go in, take advantage of it. VSiN Pro subscription for as low as $9.99, actually, you can get in for the first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. You can check out what's going on over at DraftKings. Check out what's going on over at Circa. You can see the differences there, compare, contrast, and maybe it can even be a tiebreaker for you whenever you go in and make a bet. Again, VSiN.com/subscribe, $9.99 for your first month.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Play-by-play of tennis
on
the radio.
It's happen.
I know it's not great. I mean, the half volley that Sinner just hit, it's unbelievable. As Alcaraz serves to try to stay in this match, Sinner holds serve, takes a 6-5 lead in the fifth. They are 30-all here in this game. It's just the most. I'm going to say it because I can say it, and you can't tell me I'm wrong. It's my opinion. Greatest
final.
Live
in the moment.
Greatest final of all time. There it is. I just said it. Greatest French Open final of all time. You can't prove me wrong out there. So there it is.
The previous Sinner service game took almost the full segment last time.
Yeah.
Right now, this has been a little bit quicker game already at 30-30, but obviously we could have some deuces back and forth. Sinner or Alcaraz trying to serve to stay in the match. He was in this position in the fourth set and had three break points against, able to save all of those. Now a second serve here at 30-30 to try and not have to fend off another championship point on his serve against Sinner.
I mean, Sinner just crushed the return.
Alcaraz hit an unbelievable back. And Alcaraz hits a backhand winner off it. Man.
He's going to be serving for the game here. Sean tweets us. He's dual screening us. Look at that. And that's the way to do it. Everybody be Sean. Sean's got the he's got the TV on watching and he's got the app. They're listening to us.
Ed jumps in on Twitter, says he took Cam Young at 25-1 too.
Yeah.
We got a little Cam Young sweat. Good. We got a nice little a phenomenal French Open. Just unbelievable here.
Maybe our baseball bets are winning. I don't even know at this point because I've been so enamored by what's going on over there. I haven't even looked. No, it's still 1-1 in our grudge match here.
Yeah, the battle for the desk here. Tied at 1 still. That game heading to the top of the fifth between the Phillies and the Pirates. The Blue Jays get one in the top of the second with a two-out single and double to knock one in there ahead of the Twins 1-0. Dodgers 3-0. Bottom of the second there. No real updates in any other games. Padres and Brewers both have a hit but yet to have a run in that game. And the Cubs got a runner thrown out at home as well in the top of the fourth, so 2-0 Tigers there, bottom of the fourth, or top of the fifth now. And Sinner made a deuce. So we are now going to a deuce here in the 12th game of the fifth set. Alcaraz needs to serve to force a tiebreak to decide this title.
So far, so good for Clayton Kershaw, though, up against his Cardinals team. Now, that said, he's only gone one inning. But so far,
progress.
Good. Well, it's better than what's happening on the other end because Otani's doubled. Kim has tripled. The Dodgers are doing Dodger things with the bat.
Yeah, they are.
That's just what they do.
They've been good.
That's just what they do. You know, I tried to talk you into going to Ludacris last night.
You did?
Yeah, we went to Ludacris.
Someone made the right decision in not going.
And so me, a lot of people, you know, that you guys know from the network, me, Kelly Midland, Adam Burke, Roberto Moreno, Isaiah Von Wrinkel. There were all these people that were there. You get excited because you know that he's got this like huge catalog
just
and stuff
bangers.
Like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was not in the contract that he had to sing all of them.
Or even the full song.
Because he came out and would do like 45 seconds of a song, and then it would just kind of do that like fade out thing and then go into a different one for another like minute and then just fade out.
Like a Grammy performance.
Yeah.
When you're just ripping through like 30 seconds of all
your
hits.
It was like a halftime show. We got like a ludicrous halftime show performance where he was just trying to cram in as many of his songs as he could. And oh my gosh.
We are going to a fifth set tiebreak as Alcaraz able to hold after going to deuce twice in the game there. So
now it's official. Greatest match ever.
Three of the five sets won in tiebreak. The other two sets 6-4.
Greatest match ever.
We have to be over 5.5 hours or close to it at this point now. Just a phenomenal performance here by Sinner and Alcaraz. The two favorites coming into the tournament. The two favorites pretty much in a tournament they play at this point because of the rest of the field. But just an absolute treat here in the French Open final. I'm shocked that into the third hour of our show, this will still be going on.
Yeah, I mean, I see the clock in the background. 5 hours, 20 minutes now at this point. And you look at, I'll keep saying it, especially for the people that are just joining us. They're 22 and 23 years old. Like, they're 22 and 23
years old. This is
going
to be going on for a while.
We got this for at least another good 6 or 7 years. And then once they get into their 30s, they're still going to be very competitive. But, like, you know, obviously in tennis, it starts to wear down a little bit unless you're the cyborg that is, you know, Djokovic and it all. But, this is just we are in for a treat for sure. And unfortunately, we said this before we came on air, someone has to lose this.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Now, we saw Sinner win the tiebreak in the second set. We saw Alcaraz win it in the third set. He goes up 1-0 early, breaks Sinner's serve early in the tiebreak. So, this is just going to be a banger, man. I mean, like, there's no, like, just the fact that we are in a tiebreak here, the third of the match in the fifth set, it tells you how phenomenal this entire match has been.
Mets and the Rockies have a first pitch in about 15 minutes. So if you want to get in on that one, that is happening up at Coors Field there. This is Chase Dolander for the Rockies. They are plus 223 home underdogs in this one. McGill and the Mets are minus 280 favorites, and your total is 11 here in this one, and you are going to go ahead and try to attack this Rockies team.
Yeah, I've talked about this ad nauseum, wrote an article a few weeks back. Unfortunately, this is the first series the Rockies have been home since I wrote that article, but if you play the 2, 3, 4, and 5 hitters to hit an RBI, it's most of the time you're getting plus money against the Rockies, and you're able to end up in situations where We've seen these hit just consistently. Going into this series, they were, I believe it was 32 for the last 52. They were able to record an RBI. Last night, two of the four did, both at plus money. I'm going to go back to McNeil and Alonso, who I know will be hitting later in the lineup. I try and avoid the one and two specifically. So looking for hitters that are going to be in that 3-4-5 spot. McNeil, plus 120 for an RBI. Alonso, plus 115 for an RBI. Don't hate the Alonso homer if you want to go there. Alonso, two RBIs as well. I think he's set up to have a very good game against Chase Dollinger, a pitcher that we bet the first time that he was on the hill, but throws it very hard. And at Coors Field, that can mean it's out of the park very quickly.
Yeah, it's one of those things, again, we talk about this all the time too, just at Coors, yeah, there are home runs there too, but like the dimensions are just so big that there's a ton of just extra base hits there, which can help with stuff like this as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the reason I like this is because not only do you get the starters that aren't very good, the bullpen for the Rockies, not very good. And then you're hitting in a positive environment, hitting environment as well. So it just plays out that you're going to have base runners. You're going to have opportunities. And a lot of scoring at RBI is all about getting that opportunity. And speaking of opportunities, Carlos Alcaraz goes up 4-0 in the fifth set tiebreak here.
It seems as if you're going to look back if you're a center and have those championship points that you squandered and just like hate yourself.
Yeah,
did not just close it.
It's the fourth set, right? Yeah. And we talked about this how and I got to give credit to Sinner here as well. I mean, he battled this entire fourth set. Yeah. That was a phenomenal shot. Yeah. He battled the entire fourth set, but just. It's too
swinging
much right
volley.
Now from Alcaraz.
Swinging volley.
From Alcaraz. From the baseline.
Yeah. Swinging volley from Alcaraz to hit a winner. Okay. So we got the Braves and the Giants, Spencer Strider and Landon Roop. And this one, we'll talk about a little bit later in the show whenever we do our cycle. But I wanted to say I'm fading Strider until I see otherwise here. I played a alt team total on the Giants over in this game. I think we're still getting priced as if Strider is Strider.
Yeah.
I mean, like the team total's like 2.5 in this one.
First five?
Three. I mean, 3.5 for the game.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
For the Giants. And so I played the over. I played the over 4.5. I played the over 5.5 too, going up against Strider. Again, like the thing for me is you can get by being a two pitch pitcher whenever you throw 100 and not that he's throwing slow by any stretch of the imagination, but when you get down to kind of like the 95, 96 range and you're a two pitch pitcher, it does make a pretty big difference in Major League Baseball. Everybody throws 95 at this point. And so I'm kind of looking to attack him until we either see him get back to form, Mike, or maybe this is just who he is moving forward.
Same thought process, different bet. Yeah. I took the straight over in the game, over 8, minus 105. I think Strider likely to give up runs here. And well, Roop's been good. He hasn't been great. And the underlying numbers say there's going to be a little regression at some point here. This Braves lineup pretty good. So I took the full game over 8 here versus taking just the team total over on the Giants.
Yeah, it's just a... It's for me, Strider. Listen, Strider very well might get back to form. He's just not there yet.
Yep.
And so I'm trying to go in and attack while I can. And who knows? Maybe he will just be a guy that I will want to bet against. But the market will adjust as a thing. And I just don't think it's gotten there yet for the version that we're getting currently.
No, it has not gotten there yet. We have seven match points here for Alcaraz. 7 straight championship points, up 6-0 on serve here in the tiebreak. Serves it outside. Forehand, we'll see if he's able to close it. I'm not going to do play-by-play on tennis. That's just not great. No, but Alcaraz has the opportunity here.
Terrible radio, but just unbelievable. It's 10 set, 10 pointer.
Oh, it's a 10 pointer. Okay, yeah. Alcaraz up 7-0 here in it to race to 10.
Winner Circle Proxy, guys. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VEASAN. If you live out of state, you know you can play in these contests. All you got to do is get yourself a proxy, and Winner Circle Proxy is the proxy for VEASAN, and you can get a free entry to the Circa Millions and to Circa Survivor. They are giving away one in each of those. Head over to WinnerCircleProxy.com/VEASAN to enter today. You not only get that free entry, but you will also get a proxy service to go along with it. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VEASAN.